But Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you for all the people who came out this morning to sit at your table and to be fed fresh manna from heaven. And Father, I'm asking right now that the holy angels that are in this room, that they minister to the people's needs, Father. Let the Holy Spirit fall in such a way, Father God, that the people be changed from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, and they will never be the same again. And Father, we are tired of lukewarm. We are tired of the same old, same old. Father God, we want this supernatural realm to be manifested in this church, in each one of our lives, so we can take it to the world and set the world free. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was just talking about alcoholics. And when an alcoholic seems to always remain an alcoholic, and they might get free for a little bit, then you go back to it again. And I was just saying to Brett this morning, I said, we should have so much power in us when we meet an alcoholic that just laying hands on him, you know, that spirit will leave and never come back again, that they'll be totally and completely set free. Amen. I watch so many people that are alcoholics, and they might stay free for, you know, 30 days, 60 days, but to go back to it again, you know, and they fight the same devils over and over again. And there has to be a breakthrough in this area, and it has to be the church to do it. You know, I believe as we seek God's face, that he's going to show us, or not show us, but give us the anointing to break down these barriers and set these people free. You know, all they do, if you go for being an alcoholic, I found out all they do is just give you another drug to keep you drugged, and they don't know, you don't get set free, you get more bound. And I'm watching that happen right now, and you know, and I just sit and cried last night. I said, God, this is not right. This is just not right. The state doesn't care about you. It's the church has to care. The church has to intervene here. And the church has to be the one to carry the anointing to set these people free. Well, this morning, let me see what he's going to talk about, togetherness. But I want, you know, people have a hard time understanding prophets. And so I ran across this, and so we're going to read this. Prophets and pioneers are often considered strange, different, because they are different. If you're a true prophet of God, now prophesying is one thing, but a true prophet of God, if you're a true prophet of God, then you're going to be different. It's just, you'll just stand out in the crowd, all right? All right, they move to the beat of a different drummer. They don't go down paved roads. Instead, they make roads. They move ahead to take ground, seeing what is not yet seen, calling it out and into existence, and to the world, sometimes even to the church, they are often strange and unaccepted. So, you know, you're a forerunner, you know, so you see things before anybody else sees it, and you're the one that goes through, and you pave the road. You cut down all the jungle debris so other people can walk down that. You do all, in other words, you do all the hard work, and everybody else just comes and follows and doesn't have to do anything but just be in the anointing of God. Are you understanding this? Come on. Some prophets are called to walk out and demonstrate what God has spoken. Think of Jeremiah. He was just weird at times. He was obedient, but he was also maligned and misunderstood. Some of you have pioneered hard places with new ways in new seasons, and in doing so became a catalyst that sparked a flame. That flame has simultaneously sparked revival and criticism. In other words, you're always going to get criticized. If you're a true prophet of God, you're always going to be criticized because the church is not going to understand you. All right? So get used to that. I want you to get used to it right now. Get that settled in your spirit. If I want God to use me as a true prophet of God, then I'm going to be criticized and nobody's going to understand me. All right? Isn't that what happened with Jesus? He was a true prophet, and he was criticized, and nobody understood him. Now, God is going to talk about togetherness this morning. And I read this here, and so I thought we'd read this, all right? Did you hear the story about the teacher? All right, let's stop here. God titled this togetherness, but he talks about a teacher, all right? So I had to use the title he used, but yes, about a teacher. Did you hear the story about the teacher who was helping one of her kindergarten students put on his boots? Brittany can probably relate to this. She pulled while he pushed, and the boots still didn't want to go on. Finally, after the second boot was on and she had worked up a sweat, the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked, and sure enough, they were. I go through that with Isaiah every now and then. All right, getting the boots off wasn't any easier than getting them on. The teacher managed to keep her cool as together they put the boots on the right feet. Once they were on, the little boy announced, "These aren't my boots." The teacher bit her tongue, and she then took the boots back off. Once off, the little boy said, "The boots are my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them." She didn't know whether to laugh or cry. The teacher mustered up the grace and courage to rustle the boots on his feet again. When she was finished, she said, "Now where are your mittens?" The little boy said, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." Isn't that awesome? All right, so that's a story about a teacher who got frustrated. So then I said, becoming a teacher can be very demanding for many reasons. So are you a leader? If God called you to be a leader, then you're going to be teaching people, right? Isn't that right? So then if you're going to be teaching people, there's times that it's going to demand, you'll think more than you can give. And at times it'll be very, very frustrating because people don't understand what you're trying to teach them. Now, Matthew 7:28, we're going to talk about the teacher. Matthew 7:28, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The crowds were amazed at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law." All right. God spoke to me, this is me talking, and said there is a spirit of takeover in the church today. In the church as a whole, there is a spirit of takeover. In the aglow, the spirit of takeover. In other words, somebody's trying to come in and take over and usurp your authority. All right, a spirit of takeover tries to usurp the authority of the one who God has chosen to be the leader. Now, we need to understand that this is the fullness of time moment, and it is time for God to place people in their individual ministries. Read that again, because you need to understand this. We need to understand that this is the fullness of time moment, and it is time for God to place people in their individual ministries. In other words, this is when you should be starting your ministry. All right? And everything I read for this past week, people have been saying that this is the fullness of time moment, but we know God's already told us that. So everybody's on the same page is what I'm trying to get at here. So it's just not me or just somebody else out there just flipping something out in the air. God has everybody on the same page. This is the moment. If you've been in training for quite some time, this is the moment for you to start your ministry. Now, the enemy cannot allow this. So he is putting one leader against another. I'm sorry, pitting one leader against another, or he is using individuals to destroy leaders' credibility. Please note this. The enemy cannot allow you to go into your ministry, so he is pitting somebody else against you, or he is using individuals to destroy your credibility. He'll have people gossip about you. Each one of you, I mean, your leaders in here, You have to get this in your spirit this morning or you're not going to make it. Because it gets cruel out. You'll find that it gets very cruel out there. Once you become a leader, it's very cruel out there. And the church will tear you down. The church. There are in the body of Christ individuals who have become unteachable and they think they know more than their leader. All right, so let's just say that Mark, you have the street ministry. When you're out there in the street and somebody else joins your little group and all of a sudden they're trying to tell you how to do the street ministry when they just started and you've been at it for years. So this is what this is all about. This morning, God is dealing with the elephant in the room, and that is a spirit of takeover. This is what's going on right now. As God speaks to us this morning, always remember this one thing. What you cause to happen in another person's ministry will happen to you. All right? What you cause to happen to another person's ministry will happen to you. Now, this is where God starts speaking. Where there is lack of understanding of my ways, you will find disunity in the body of Christ. So many of my children are working in their flesh still, and they are missing what I am truly doing in this end time dispensation. You are not going to be able to walk in your flesh at all. Your flesh has to die totally and completely, all right? I have not turned heaven over to anyone, even though that is what some think. In other words, I believe what God's saying is that people think they know more than God knows. God said, I am still in total and complete control, and I know exactly what I am doing, and I am doing what I have always planned from the beginning of time. Then he asked the question, are you still teachable, or do you know more than your teacher? Why do you allow the enemy to have full sway over your mind, your will, and your emotions? There is so much darkness forthcoming, and I am not about to release my beloved ones into the hands of the enemy. God is trying to get you all under his wing of covering so that whenever you're out there ministering for him, the enemy will not be able to touch you. Are you understanding this? You need to learn to follow protocol. In other words, this is God speaking, code of correct conduct. You need to understand who the student is and who the teacher is. You are allowing yourselves to be duped into false delusion. Now let's just stop there a minute. All right, you might sit in a church service and the preacher might be preaching, but then you think, oh, well, they should say this and they should say that and they should say something else. But if that preacher or teacher is really being led by the Spirit of God, they are saying exactly what God wants them to say. Now, if you think that you know more than they know, then you need to say, God, make me a leader of a church so I can bring out what they just forgot to bring out. All right, and I've had a lot of years in this, and I know what I'm talking about. And really and truly, once you get in leadership, you'll find out that whenever you have a message, you go home, you say, well, I could have used this scripture, I could have said this, I could have said that. So you yourself know, but you only say what God has you say. Are you understanding this? Now, God says, children, 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 when are you going to learn that the enemy is a deceiver and he comes to cause division anywhere he can find an open crack? My word tells you to not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm, but somehow you deem it necessary to overlook that statement and continue to come against my anointed ones. Don't we see that? How the heathen do rage, and how hell fills up each and every day with the body of Christ who do not hang onto their salvation through my word. Look what he says again. How the heathen do rage, and how hell fills up each and every day with the body of Christ, who do not hang onto their salvation through my word. Where am I at? So much, yes. And then God says, so much is about to transpire, and you are on the very edge of losing out on one of the biggest adventures in church history, just because you have to have the last say and prove you hear my voice. You know, I sit many, many times here, and I let people do what they want to do, and I know that they're just wanting to be seen, you know. And it doesn't bother me any, because I know they're growing. They're growing. And somebody asked me something a week ago, and I said, you know, I feel ashamed to say this, but I was just anointed from my mother's womb. And when God called me, I was already anointed to do the works he called me to do. And I never was concerned about somebody else coming against me, because I just knew that I knew that I knew that it was God working through me, and I didn't have a problem with that. But see, not everybody has that option. Not everybody knows that they were, from the mother's womb, they were anointed. My mother had 6 children. She said that I was so different than the other 5 children. From the time I came out of the womb, I was totally and completely different. And see, but not everybody has that option. Some are called years down the road. And now as I look back, I can see why God kept me from a lot of danger. I drowned 3 times. Actually drowned, but brought back to life. Had car accidents. I should have died in and didn't. But I know now that it was God because I was his anointed prophet and God was keeping me. And when I was, I think, 50, God called me in the ministry, and I said, God, I wasted 50 years and you didn't waste nothing. So remember this too. You didn't waste anything. He was training you to do what he wanted you to do. And my father always made me be a leader, take care of all the other kids, even though I wasn't the oldest. And he says, you have more sense than they do, and this is your job. What was that all about? It was God using my father to make me a strong leader and take responsibility. And even when I didn't do wrong and I was spanked for it, I didn't get upset or angry. I just took it, so be it, type thing. See, God was training me all my life to do what I'm doing today. Now, as you look back in your future, in your past, Sister Lane gave her testimony the other day. Your testimony is going to be powerful for what's going on today with the abortion, because that's a big thing right now. And some of you others, what you went through, Astrid, is powerful. That's your testimony. You're going to be able to put that into your teachings. It's going to help so many people, set so many people free. So as a teacher, please don't ever be ashamed of your past. You know, your past will help somebody else. All right? It always works that way. So God said, so much is about to transpire and you're on the very edge of losing out on one of the biggest adventures in church history just because you have to have the last say and prove you hear my voice. What are you really saying to the body of Christ when you keep saying, see, I hear also? You are saying, I feel very inadequate and I have to vindicate myself in every area of my life. I have to prove to everybody that I do hear God's voice. I am not content in the state I am in, and therefore I have to make waves. This is what God said you do, and let's read it again. God says, what are you really saying to the body of Christ, to the body of Christ, not to the world, when you keep saying, see, I hear also? You are saying, I feel very inadequate, and I have to vindicate myself in every area of my life. I have to prove to everybody that I do hear God's voice. I am not content in the state I am in, and therefore I have to make waves. Then God said, the only waves you are making is in your journey to the abyss. I am requiring complete unity in my body. My body needs to work together from the head to the feet. Each and every part of the body is needed, but why do you need to be recognized, and why do you come against your teachers and the anointing I have placed upon them? Are you listening here? Don't do that. Look how they came against Jesus all the time. But he didn't try to, and God's always told me, do not ever try to vindicate yourself. Jesus never tried to vindicate himself. He knew why he was here. He knew he was from God. He knew he had to work to do. He just did his job. All right? He didn't care about what other people said. But I think he might have. And, he always went to the mountain to pray to the Father. And I bet every now and then he says, Father, this hurts. I know I do that every now and then. Even though I don't say nothing, I go to Father, Father, how much longer do I have to put up with this? This is hurting me. But he just says, keep going. He doesn't feel no pity. Keep going, because he knows that he gave us the strength to do what he's called us forth to do. All right? All right. So God says, you need to close the crack, or that crack will become a door, and the enemy will come in and out as he so pleases. In other words, that crack that you opened up by coming against another leader. All right? And Galatians 5:15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. See, if you're constantly walking in the Spirit, you're not going to worry about what other people say about you. You're not going to be concerned if they like you or don't like you. I always say, I don't care if you like me or not, because I can't make you like me. I just can't make you like me. So, if you like me, fine. If you don't, fine. It's fine again. Guys, you just have to, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be just doing that kind of junk anyhow. You just have to die out to your flesh. You just have to know that you're here on assignment. You're not here for pleasure. You're here on assignment. Now get the assignment done and do it right. That's my daddy taught me that from little up. Do it right or don't do it at all, he say. Never do anything halfway. And too many in the body of Christ do things halfway. They don't do it the whole way. They pick it up and start and then drop it. Now that's bad for God. It's really bad for God. All right, then we read the scripture about walking in the Spirit. And God says, you are claiming to be walking in my Spirit, but yet you bite and devour one another. Now something is wrong with this picture, he says. All right. I'm Spirit-filled, but yet you backbite and you gossip and you carry on. You get all upset and you let the devil have your mind and he goes crazy with it. He makes you go crazy with it, right? God said, you are claiming to be walking in my Spirit, but yet you bite and devour one another. Now, something is wrong with this picture. If you are walking in the Spirit, then you are not coming against any one of my children. You are not walking in your flesh at any time. That was quite, I had to stop and think about that. That was a selah behind that for me. Because he says, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you are not coming against any one of my children. You are not walking in your flesh at any time. And how many can say, I do walk in my flesh every now and then. And I have to crucify my flesh and get it under subjection. Come on, if you haven't, then you've already been, you need to go on up to heaven. Amen. Come on. God said, Spirit is calling unto Spirit, and I say unto you this morning, I have been calling you too long now. You are holding up others' blessings, and you need to get it together before it's too late. You judge another for their lack of love, and you never seek my face about this. When in fact, you yourselves are lacking love, when you judge another for their lack of love. I ran across that picture that I had Nancy put in the bullet into that big log in that guy's eye. And because God said this, I said, Nancy, put that in the bullet. So he said, you judge another for their lack of love, and you never seek my face about this, when in fact, you yourselves are lacking love when you judge another for their lack of love. Did you understand what he just said there? Does not my word say love covers a multitude of sins? It sure does, and I'm not going to change that wording for anybody, not even you. All right? And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Then God said, you have not yet mastered agape love. Do you not understand the types of love that I have? No, you do not, or you would not walk around judging another's love walk. Let's stop there. You know, every now and then I would preach here, and I would go home, and I'd actually go into my study and sit and cry and cry, and I'd say, God, somebody got upset thinking I don't walk in a love walk. I could feel it in my spirit. I said, please, God, don't use me to preach hard messages. He said, you will preach whatever I tell you to preach. And that's happened 3 times recently. Somebody in here is judging my love walk. They think from what I say that I don't walk in love, and that's definitely not true. Definitely not true. So you're allowing the enemy to come in there and judge me in my love walk, and you haven't sought God's face about it. And I don't really care who it is, but I'm just telling you it's getting you in trouble. I'm like Jeremiah, and I just can't, you know, God's used me the way he used me. He has from day one, and it's always been about repent. And believe me, I will love you through your sin, but I still have to preach the word of God. You know, I have to preach the word of God. And some of these words that God does, I found out later, somebody was doing what he talked about. And then we had to work them through that and set them free. So, you know, whatever word God gives, see, somebody's having trouble with this here, you know, coming against God's people. Whatever God speaks, I was going to bring a big shoe and set it there, and I forgot that shoe. I was going to put the shoe there and said, the shoe fits, put it off and done. Just say, oh, well, you know, just go on. I told you about time I was in church and the pastor made up the whole sermon about me. And I bet I was some Jezebel and this and that and the other. And I said, God, what is his problem? What is he doing? He said, that sermon's all about you. Start listening to it. I mean, he was running up and down the platform carrying on and spitting and sputtering. And I thought, what is his problem? He never preached like that before. You know why he did that? Because it was not godly. He was going by what somebody else in the church, he was jealous of me. I came to the church and made me a deacon and the Sunday school teacher. First Sunday I was there. And this person was wanting that, those positions, and she'd been there for years and didn't get them. So she told him a bunch of lies about me. And he believed them. And then he made up a sermon about me. So, you know, it's, things like that happen. You're just going to have to learn to deal with it. Did I get upset? No, because it was, I didn't do it. I said to her, listen, I said, this man is crazy. I loved him and I still love him. I think he passed away a couple of years ago though. But, you know, we was always friends, even though I wouldn't go back to his church. Well, he kicked me out of his church. And then he asked me to come back. I said, no, I won't come back because you didn't see, you're not walking in the spirit or you wouldn't have done this to me. But he lost all of his congregation because the congregation loved me. You see what you do whenever you don't walk in the spirit? And you listen to what man tells you. You have to be walking in the spirit, guys, or you're going to lose your ministry. All right, let me see. God says, you have not yet mastered agape love. I know we read it. We're going to read it again. Do you not understand the types of love that I have? No, you do not, or you would not walk around judging another's love walk. Love comes in many forms. Tough love rebukes, confronts, and makes sure no one goes to the abyss. It gives the individuals the opportunity to get it right, especially when they have heard the word and have deliberately walked away from it. All right, that's tough love. And right now, God is using tough love in the body of Christ because you should be grown by now and you're still on the milk bottle. And God's upset about that. And he said, now I want this milk bottle of diapers thrown away, and I want you to grow up and be the man or woman of God I called you forth to be. All right. God says, my son talked about love over and over again, but he did not compromise his teaching about heaven and hell. He told the truth, and those who loved the truth were set free, and those who did not stayed in bondage. I'm going to tell you how this works, too. Somebody in this church went and got a deliverance because this person's name kept coming to them, and you know, it was coming in a way that wasn't nice, and they knew they didn't have any ought against this person, but they wanted to make sure there was nothing there, so they went and did a deliverance. There wasn't anything there, but see, it's because somebody else was coming against them, and they picked it up because they're walking in the spirit, but they thought there was something in them, so they went and had it, you know, had a deliverance. See, if you're walking in the spirit, you're going to pick all that kind of stuff up. You're just going to pick it up. You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm home, the phone rings. I know you're going to call me because I get your name, then the phone rings, and there you are. So I decide, am I going to pick that up or not? No, that's not true. No, but, you know, I do. I said, well, I knew you was going to call me because I just heard your name. But if you're walking in the spirit, guys, God's going to show you these things. And if you're a teacher, you have to walk in the spirit because you don't know who you're going to come in contact with out there on the streets. And you have to be concerned about what that person is and what they're going to do. When Elaine and Mark go out on the streets, you have to be walking in the spirit or one of them could kill you, right? You don't know who, they carry guns and knives and all kind of stuff, but you plead the blood of Jesus, you go out there in the streets, you know you're covered, and you let God take care of you. But if you wasn't walking in the spirit, if you're just going out there to do your thing and see what's going on, you could get attacked. So just going on the streets isn't just going on the streets. Going on the streets is knowing God, walking in the spirit, and having the spirit talk to you and tell you what's going to happen, right? All right, then God says, since when do you see inside another's heart? Are you God? Unless I show another's heart, you cannot see it, but still you judge it. All right, as a minister, as a pastor of this church, you know, so God will start dealing with me about an individual. I said, okay. And so I just let him keep dealing, you know. Then finally I said, all right, it's time we do something here. When God gives me the whole picture and I know what's going on, then I call that individual and say, okay, you know, we've got a few problems here that we have to take care of. And they'll say, yep, that's exactly what's going on. And so what I'm saying is if you're a leader, if you're a true leader and you're walking in the spirit, then you need to be able to, you need to be in a place where God can speak to you and tell you what's going on in an individual's life that you're ministering to. Now, the last one I did I tear the person down? No. We're going to do deliverance. We're going to pray, and we're going to walk beside you. You're down, and we're not going to kick you. We're a hospital. We're going to love you and bring you back up. All right? And that's how we operate in here. And we don't put a big poster out what's going on. But we all walk in love, and we do our part in unity. Because the devil, if you have disunity, he will tear your church apart. Luke 6:37 says, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So whatever you do for somebody else is going to come back to you. I'm working with somebody right now, and they're really messed up. And they said, karma is a terrible thing. In other words, what they did to other people for years has now come back on them. And it's just about destroying them. All right? And verse 39 says, Jesus spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. See that? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. In other words, get your own life together, keep your nose on your face, and let God take care of the other person, right? Isn't that how it works? Then Jesus said, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Now, I read this scripture first because of what God's saying next, all right? And this is what God said. Children, and yes, I will call you children, even when I walk the corridors of hell. Because it was I who formed you, and you are my children. But. I really try, when I say I love somebody, I try not to say, never say but anymore, amen? God says, but I cannot make you do what is right. I cannot make you stop judging. I cannot make you walk in forgiveness. I cannot make you love as I love. All I can do is set you under those who will love you, even in your shortcomings. I will love you even when all of hell is pulling at your feet. Because that is what a good father does. A good shepherd leads his sheep by the still waters. He does not drive them. I thought that was an awesome statement. God said, you think I do not see your cold, hard heart? But I do, and I cannot help but weep over you, for there is no need for you to be in this condition. You know, judging, judgmental, not loving. He said, God said, my son is pure love, and there is no unforgiveness in him at all. I don't know about you, but I really had to work really hard to walk in where I could always forgive somebody. When I first was born again, God really dealt with me about that. And whenever he dealt with me that, and I got through that, it wasn't long, a couple months, then I could forgive anybody for anything. And the reason why God dealt with me is because once you're a leader, you have to forgive a lot of people for a lot of things. All right? So remember that, guys. You have to know forgiveness, or don't go out there and start. Just don't even start, because the devil will use people to make you lose your walk. All right, God said, my son is pure love, and there is no unforgiveness in him at all. On the cross, unrecognizable, blood running down his face, in total agony, he still cried out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. God said, and you say I cannot forgive my brother / sister that talked about me, and you say I'm anointed and I'm preaching your gospel, I prophesy, do you understand where you will stand on judgment day? Then in Matthew 7:21 he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The only person going to stand before him, he's saying, is those who does the will of his Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Lawlessness is not loving. Lawlessness is judging. All right. Don't be one of those. You know, that's one thing I really dread. I said, God, I never want to go, you know, die and then stand before you and say, depart me, I don't know you. That's, I guess it's a fear in my heart. And I work really super hard to make sure that if I would die this second, I know that my Father would accept me. We have to walk that way every second of every day of all of our life. Because you don't know what day you're going to die. You don't know what second you're going to die. And what condition is your heart in when you do die. What's his name? Bob Jones, when God said that the thing that God's going to ask you when he judges you is, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And I don't mean this surface love that the world uses. I mean the true agape love of God that bears all things. They can love the unlovable. You can love those who just about destroys you, not just once, but over and over and over again. You have to have a love that's unshakable. You really do. I didn't say you wouldn't bash your head against the wall every now and then and say, God, I have a hard time loving this person today. I didn't say you wouldn't do that. But you're going to have to get your flesh under submission, and you're going to have to love. If you don't have love, just don't even bother going out there, because the devil's hard out there. And he uses the church of God to come against you. He'll use your family members to come against you. I was speaking to somebody yesterday, and they said, you know, I have a hard time with a certain person because, you know, they have a job in a church, but yet, and they're supposed to be an example of what Christ is all about, and they're not. And I really have a hard time with that. And, you know, and I sort of try to talk the person through that, but that's how they look at us. They don't care what we're going through. We're supposed to be an example of Jesus, just like Jesus was, right? And you just don't know who's watching you. You don't know who you're touching, and you don't know what, you know. It says, woe unto those who put a stumbling block in front of my children. So that person's having a hard time. They know the Lord, but they're really having a hard time accepting Christ in all of his fullness because the stumbling block is there. It's a constant reminder that, you know, they're supposed to be like Jesus, and they're not. And I try to tell this person, but when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to say that to God. Because it's your walk. It's your walk. And what are you doing with your walk? All right? And Ephesians 4:25 says, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. See what the scripture tells us? God said if we carry a grudge, it means we are unforgiving and unloving. Grudges promote gossip and slander. Holding grudges can disrupt the unity of friends, family, and the church. You see, you know, we can't do this. Whatever you're walk through it. Don't stop and get stuck in a mud hole. Walk through it and get through it quickly. Don't allow the enemy to come and destroy your walk with God. Doesn't the word say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath? So if you're angry with somebody, you need to make up before the sun goes down. Amen. All right, 1 Peter 4, 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. And this is really for today. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You know, when you read that, or when I read that, I think, you know, I didn't have the right kind of love for years, because if love covers a multitude of sins, then you won't tell about anybody's sin. Right? You'll keep it to yourself, because love, if you really walk in love, love will cover that. So I failed in that area. Some of y'all did too. So that's why I can say that, because I know I'm not alone in this boat. So, but we won't do that no more, will we? If we're really walking in love, then you will not reveal another's sin. Are you here? Isn't that what it says? And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will carry a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. A lot of people don't do that either. They, well, come on in, have dinner. He a bit all, you know. It says, be hospitable without grumbling. As each one of us has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with ability which God supplies. Why? That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Everything we do, it says here, is for the glory of, to glorify God, right? Verse 12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Did you catch that, saints? But rejoice, it says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Hallelujah. See that? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. See, we're not supposed to do that. Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. If it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And God's been judging the house of God for quite a few years. Verse 18, now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? So, you know, it says, if you and I are just scarcely saved, so that means we have to work out our salvation. We have to be mindful every day of what we're doing, or we could die and go to hell. Now, you might think that's harsh, but that's the truth. He doesn't care how many good, we just read he doesn't care how many good deeds you did. When you died, you were not doing the right thing. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. What are you going to do with your walk with God from this day forth? The word togetherness is affectionate closeness. And I know why God had me title this togetherness is because he wants us in total and complete unity. You know, we should all be able to sleep in the same bed and be able to love one another. You know, whether I don't care if we haven't taken a bath. You know what I'm saying? We should all be able to be in the same room and not in a little pea brain thinking, oh, you know what, that person did, blah, blah. We shouldn't be thinking those thoughts, and that goes on in the house of God. Look at them up there being so sanctified, and I know what they did. No, we cannot think that way. That is not the mind of Christ. That's the mind of the enemy. And, you know, with the street ministry, a lot of people want to go into street ministry, but I don't think you're ready for the street ministry, because you would judge them poor street people like you wouldn't believe. And you wouldn't help them, you would hinder them. And, you know, and I, you know, as I'm working with some people right now, and I looked at them and I said, what the enemy has done is unreal to these people. I don't even recognize these people anymore. He has taken their minds and totally twisted them. Am I judging? No. It makes me love them more. I sit and cry and I say, thank God, God, that you love me and you've kept me and I'm not there. I'm not about to push them under the bus. Are you understanding this? And these people you meet on the street, they're not nice, some of them. I mean, they're really, truly messed up. I know this one lady, you know, that people were just running her crazy, you know, just talking terrible about her. But God had me meet her and know her heart. And I love her. I really do love her. And she's on the street. And she just can't give. She told me, she said, the last time I saw her, she said, street's calling me. You don't understand. The street's calling me. Thank God the street's not calling you. And so my job is to pray. And I do. I pray for her every day. Every day I pray for her. I thank God that the street's not calling me. I thank God that I'm not hooked on drugs. I thank God I'm not a prostitute, you know, to do my drug habit. You don't understand what I'm saying? And see, if you're going to work with street people, you have to have the mind of Christ. You can't look at what they're, you can't look at the situation they're in. You're going to have to look at them as God sees them, and God sees them as his child. And he sees them as his child that the enemy has taken and twisted and turned every which way he can twist them. And it's up to us as the house of God to have love for one another here first. Well, first of all, you should love your family. Then you should love the house of God. And then you can go out the street and love the street people, right? I mean, the street people stink. They have dirty clothes, they haven't bathed, you know, and they don't have toothbrushes and stuff. But that should not affect you. Do you think that Jesus would run up, walk up to them and hug them? He sure would. He wouldn't say, well, go take a bath and change your clothes first. He would go up and hug them and pour his love into them. Come on. Had somebody yesterday that I'm dealing with, and you know, and I said, come here, give me your hand. They took my hand like they broke my hand and wouldn't let go. And I'm thinking, oh, God. You know, but they didn't realize it. And they said, I love you so much. Please don't ever push me away. And I said, I'm not going to. And they said, I know what I've done to you, and I'm really, really sorry, but don't ever push me away. I was squeezing my fingers all this time, you know. And your man's have a little bit of a grip. And then I finally hugged him, and he hugged me so hard, I thought he was going to break my back. He said, I'm so glad that you're here for me, that you're praying for me, that you don't just cast me away, because he just did something dumb. But, you know, you didn't cast me away when I come back there. You stood in the porch waiting for me and said, come on, let's go have a talk. Let's do something together. See, he has to know he's loved because he's never known love. See, these street people, all these street people they were raised in homes, yes, but they didn't know love. They were sexually abused. They were physically abused. You know, a lot of them are just, you don't understand where they're coming from. And you have to have the mind of Christ, and God will tell you where they come from. Are you listening? I hope you're listening. Because God wants unity. I'm hearing him say he wants unity in your heart with him. And when you and him have the same heart, then there won't be any flaws in your heart. And you'll be able to do what he's calling you forth to do, and that is to love the unlovable. So what do you think? You think you're going to be able to minister, you're going to be able to have a church? Are you going to be able to minister to all the different sheep that come in? Some sheep are pretty dumb, you know. And you have to lead them and lead them and lead them and minister to them. Some have diapers on, you have to change your diapers. Are you really, really ready to do all that? Are you really ready to be crucified for something you've never done like Jesus was? Are you ready to be talked about? There's a whole lot to being a minister. It's just not, and I'm talking about, I don't care if you're an evangelist, I don't care if you're a street minister, I don't care what it is. There's a whole lot that you need. Do you have it? Do you have it? I'm hearing God say, do you have what it takes to restore the lost and the dying and the brokenhearted? That's why you see so many churches closed, and that's why you see so many people, you know, broken and wounded. It's because the ministers were not strong enough, and they They called herself into the ministry to begin with, but the ministers were not strong enough to endure what it takes to lead the people forth. Are you understanding here? I've had a lot of people come. God said we'd always have a swinging door, and he sends people in there he's trying to make leaders out of. I've had a lot of people leave because they couldn't stand the teaching. It was too strong. In other words, they didn't have what it took to become a minister. Are you understanding that? If you think the word, I mean, we read the word, do we not? It is the word. And if you think that word's too strong, then please don't become a minister of any type, because you won't be able to make it. And the devil will take you out along with those that you are trying to minister to. But Father, I thank you. And I'm hearing God say there's a strange air in the atmosphere in this day. And that strange air is a mixture of truth and lies that the body of Christ is believing at this moment. I want to take this strange air and I want to totally blow it away, because I don't want another one of you to walk in that mixture. I want you to walk in total and complete agape love at all times.